There is a rap song that was very cool in the 2000s. It was a wildly inappropriate rap song, but there was a part in it where the rapper said, "Hold up. Hey." And I'm not going to sing the rest of the song because I'm sure it's wildly inappropriate, but it takes me back to like homecoming and prom. I know that I am probably having like this very big millennial moment right now, but I'm curious if when you heard "Hold up, hey," if you actually maybe started like maybe dancing. In the 2000s, we called that grinding. I'm not sure if that's what kids are calling it these days, but I'm having a flashback. And the reason why I'm having a flashback is because this episode is about holding up. And the moment when I jotted that down on a note card, the only thing I could think of was "hold up, hey." If you are not a millennial and you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, please keep listening. If you are a millennial and you are just smiling and maybe shaking your tail feather, which was that a Nelly song? I think the song that says "hold up" is probably Dre, Dr. Dre, or maybe the Snoop Dogg. Nonetheless, I think some of the most powerful things that we as educators can do is hold up and actually also hold on. Hold on for one more day. Oh my gosh, we are having a musical moment. That is definitely Wilson Phillips. And that song was never cool when I was a kid, but I'm pretty sure it was cool in the 80s. So let me summarize. If you are a Wilson Phillips fan, if you are a Snoop Dogg fan, if you are a Dr. Dre fan, Nelly, or you're just a fan of education, you're in the right spot. Because I think at this point in the school year, we need to hold up, we need to hold on, and I want to hold hands with you as we listen to this episode, because I really do think that it can help you in so many ways. So let's do this. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Because I clearly have music on my mind, I am going to remind you of one other song. And it was probably cool in the 90s, and it went, "It's just a little crush." I don't know who sings it. It was probably a one-hit wonder like Robin or somebody like that. But the reason why I bring that up is because the past few episodes have all been centered around the word crush. Because I think that there are five things that we can really focus on if we want to crush it for kids. We can celebrate education. We can build relationships. We can utilize our unique interests, skills, and strengths. We can share our stories and share our struggles. And then I think we can also hold on and hold up. And that's what we're going to focus on in this episode. Is I think sometimes as teachers, we want to problem solve quickly. We want to check things off of our to-do list. We want to just make sure that everything is okay and that our students are happy and that our schools are happy. But sometimes we forget about making sure that we are holding. holding this profession in the palm of our hands so we can hold on to the fact that we want to be in education. And we can be in education, in my opinion, longer when we hold up and hold on. So let me give you an example of what I mean by both of these to just create a little context for you so then you can reflect on when you have or need to hold on and hold up. Okay? So let's start with hold up. There are definitely moments in education where things are super frustrating. Kids are being negative or nasty. Our colleagues are being negative or nasty. We're getting negative and nasty emails from parents, and we want to say something very quickly to a student. We want to fire back an email to that teacher or that parent. And sometimes what we need to do is just hold up. Just take a second and hold up. Because what you're about to say could be negative and nasty back. It could create a bit of a school spiral. And I truly don't think that that is what we want to do. I think sometimes we just need a second to hold up. I think sometimes we need to get some perspective, to take a deep breath, and then decide what is the best next step. And holding up can be really powerful. I think another way that it can be really powerful is when we hold up and create some space for kids to process information. I've talked a lot about this on this podcast, and I believe in it because I give my students time to hold up and think of an answer. Hold up and take some time to like marinate on that. What do you want to say? Today, I actually did this in my own classroom. My students were giving 1-minute speeches, which is something that it sounds simple, 1-minute speeches, but the strategy and the philosophy and the life skills behind it are incredible. It's actually in a book that I wrote called Game Changers, but the long and short of it was that these students were giving a 1-minute speech. And there was one student who I knew was nervous to give this speech, but they came up. They stood in front of the class. We set the 1-minute timer so that only the kid could see it. And for the first 6 seconds, the kid said nothing. But students knew that they couldn't like make weird faces or giggle or start clapping or say like, it's okay. It was complete silence for 6 seconds. What were we doing? We were holding up. And on second 7, the student started talking. On second 7, the student started talking and delivering an absolutely spectacular 1-minute speech. And then, for the next 54 seconds, filled the space with details, with confidence, with great tone. Had we not said, hold up, just let the kid have the time and space, there's no way that that awesome speech would have happened. I think sometimes we're in such a big rush for mastery of something. We're in such a big rush to like, okay, scope and sequence, pacing of the classroom, that we realize that like time is a powerful tool for us to process emotion, but also for kids to process information. So that is what I mean when I'm like, hold up. Hey, that's what I mean. What about holding on? What does that mean in the context of crushing it for kids? I think that we need to hold on to our standards. And I mean that in like a curriculum standards, but also our like behavioral classroom management standards. And I can give you a couple of specific examples from my own classroom. So when it comes to like holding on to classroom management, there is a rule in my school that I don't necessarily get. I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm a team player, so I'm going to hold on to that standard. And it's that students cannot bring in drinks outside of water and I want to be very clear, because I made a TikTok video about this and people lost their mind. Students can't bring anything other than water to class. Can teachers bring coffee? Yes. And people are like, so what the heck? How come teachers get to do it and students don't? Well, because I think, like, we're older, and I would like to believe that I'm not going to tip over my coffee cup. Each year I do it about once, but we understand as teachers how much spills happen. So that's neither here nor there. Let's stay focused on the holding on. I have held on to this standard and said, listen, this is what we're doing. Like, you just brought a Mountain Dew to class, go put that in your locker. You just brought a Starbucks to your class, don't go put it in your locker because it's got a funny lid, just set it on my desk. Not all teachers are holding on to this standard. There are a bunch of teachers in my school who are allowing that to transpire, right? Their choice, their classroom, they can choose to hold on or not hold on. I'm holding on to the standard, even though my students might be like, other teachers let us do it. That's fine. Their choice. This is so dumb. I'm not going to spill it. That's fine. I hear you. Put it in your locker. Set it on my desk. It was kind of this big deal in the first quarter. Here we are in third quarter / fourth quarter. I do not have to fight kids over this at all anymore. I held on to the standard. Another way to say it is I kind of held my ground. I wasn't being mean and negative and nasty. I just said, this is the expectation. We're going to follow it. That simple. And kids have said, okay. Because I think when we hold on and we hold our grounds and we are clear and when we are consistent, kids see it and they just start doing it. Same thing when it comes to holding on to my standards of, like, rigor. I teach science. I have specific curriculum with specific standards in mind. I have a lot that I expect from kids. It's not impossible. I'm not a mean grader. I'm none of these things. But I have a level of expectation that I do think is reasonable for all kids. In quarter one in my classroom, it is not uncommon for kids to get their first B or their first C. Am I trying to be mean? Absolutely not. That's not my goal. At our local high school, there is this thing that some of the high school kids say where some teachers are supposedly, quote, summa killers. What that means is there are teachers who evidently, according to the kids, are intentionally trying to kill summa status for a lot of students because they believe that this teacher gets kicks and giggles off of just giving the first B. That's not me. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm saying, like, here's the standard. For the record, a B is spectacular. For the record, a C is nothing where I'm like, see me after class, okay? Right? But I hold on to the standards. And here we are, third, fourth quarter, and guess what? I've got students who are like, okay, this is the expectation. This is the rigor. This is what I need to prove curricular awareness and mastery of information. And I got kids who maybe got a C the first quarter and they're getting an A. Or a kid who, like, skated by and now they're like, I'm actually getting this. And they are learning and they are growing and I love it. Do all parents necessarily love that? No, but here's what parents can't argue is that, like, I am doing everything I possibly can to help your kid learn and grow. I'm not trying to defeat them. I'm not trying to, like, be hardcore. I'm saying, I got your kids back. And if you just trust me in the process, I promise your child is going to learn so much information. They're going to learn so many great skills because I am holding on to the belief that, like, I can help your child learn and grow and succeed and feel successful. I understand that holding on, holding up, and holding our ground can be super hard. I understand it is so much easier to be like, just go ahead and drink that Mountain Dew. I understand that sometimes it's like, everybody gets an A on that assignment because it was not so good, but I don't want to have all these parents who are mad and calling me. Dude, I get it. Oh my gosh. I get it so much. The thought crosses my mind all the time. But I think if we truly want to crush it for kids, we just have to be aware of that. Because I think what happens if we don't hold up and hold on and hold our ground, eventually what happens is we start getting chipped away at. And we won't be able to hold this profession with passion in the palm of our hands anymore. I think instead of crushing it for kids, what will end up happening is that we are crushed under the weight of the trauma and the drama that can exist in education. So here's what I want to say. One, I want to compliment you for everything that you're doing to crush it for kids. I do believe that when we celebrate education, when we build ridiculously strong relationships, when we utilize our unique interests, skills, and strengths, when we share our stories and share our struggles, and when we hold up and hold on and hold our ground, that is the secret recipe to crushing it for kids. I've been talking about it all month long, and I'm never going to stop talking about it because I really do believe that those are the five pillars. If you have listened to the entire month's worth of podcasts in this series and you're like, oh, I love this, I want more of this, the good news is I got more for you. If you have just found the This Teacher Life podcast and you're like, whoa, that was simple and short and sweet but significant, I need and want more of this, I got you covered. This is the final call for the Crushing It for Kids course that is going to be happening during the month of April. During the month of April, we are going to dive into very specific, very substantial, very silly, but also sensational ideas in every single one of those areas. If you're like, girl, I can't seem to be motivated, I'm questioning everything, we're gonna dive into that. And I'm going to show you specific ways to help you celebrate education. If you feel like kids have changed and they've got walls up and it is just really difficult to connect with kids in this climate, I hear you. I got specific ideas for that. If you're like feeling like you're kind of in neutral, like you're just kind of apathetic to education, you're not alone. I want to show you ways to unlock your own interests, skills, and strengths to bring your teaching up to a level that you didn't even know that you could. If you feel like you're just kind of coasting because you feel like you're alone and maybe your colleagues and your friends and your family are having a hard time because you just feel like you're on an island by yourself and you need strategic ways to share your struggles and share your story, I got you. And if you need more helpful tips on how to hold up, hold on, and hold this profession in the palm of your hand, then the Crushing It for Kids course during the month of April is for you. And again, this is the last call because it is going to be starting soon. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes. But here's a cool thing. You can earn up to 15 hours worth of PD credits by participating. You also get a workbook to help guide you in this entire process. You also get a copy of the book, Crushing It for Kids. This is a win, 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 win. And I want you to win as we walk out of the 2023-2024 school year. This quarter, fourth quarter, these upcoming last weeks and last months of school can be the best of the entire school year, regardless of if you feel like you are already crushing it for kids or you're being crushed under the system. I want to do life with you in April because I want you to understand that the five pillars of education make a difference, and you, my friend, you are making a difference. You can check out monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I promise you will not regret it. Friends, this is the end of the Crushing It for Kids series. We got so much great stuff happening in the next few months. great ideas that are going to be dropping on this podcast. As a reminder, new episodes are dropped every single Sunday night, so you are ready for your Monday morning commute so you can get the motivation and also many ideas to help you in your classroom. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.